This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, March 10th. I hope you had a great weekend, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And, well, we have arrived. Free agency is here on the schedule for today at 12 o'clock noon, high noon, I guess that would be. Today, teams can start negotiating with players who will become unrestricted free agents when their contracts expire at the start of the new league year this Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Players can't sign with the new teams until the new league year officially begins, but we all know what that means. Today, free agency begins. What I'm sure all of you are hoping will be Howie season begins. This is going to be an important next week for the Eagles, a critical next few days for the Eagles. We are going to see players leave. We are going to see players sign with the team. There's going to be rumors. There's going to be emergency pods. What a way to start the week. So free agency begins today. And like I said, I hope you all had a great weekend because we have a busy week ahead. A lot to get into today. We're going to talk about one of the players I know Eagles fans were pretty hopeful for. No longer a possibility. We got the Saquon Barkley contract details. Jalen Hurts had a very special dinner, it feels, with a very legendary player, I would say. And then we're going to continue our free agency preview with a look at some tight ends that the team could target in free agency. So let's get right down to it. Like I said, today free agency begins at 12 o'clock, which means the Eagles can start to talk to players, and then on Wednesday they can sign them. The Eagles enter free agency with what I believe is around $22-ish million in cap space. Now, again, the $22 million is not what they have to fully spend because they have to pay their draft class. And then they also like to normally keep around $10 million in salary cap space to head into the season. Maybe they'll go a little less this year, but you're not going to see them spend all $22 million. They'll probably end, I would say, the spending part of free agency with around $8 or $9, if not $10 million in salary cap space. So Howie probably has the room for two big contracts, maybe one to his own. If you want to say a Mekhi Becton contract would be big. And then potentially, I think you'll see them go out and sign one player of note in free agency. But we'll find out today when that begins. All right, so let's get into it. Miles Garrett. We have talked on this pod for about a month, I would say, about Myles Garrett. Last week, I started to try to tell you guys that I would not get your hopes up for a Myles Garrett deal. And well, on Sunday, any hope you might have continued to have officially left. Myles Garrett signs $123 million in guaranteed money with the Cleveland Browns. He averages $40 million a year. And ironically, he gets a no-trade clause. After demanding a trade, he gets a no-trade clause. But the real news is $123 million guaranteed, an absurd amount of guaranteed money. He gets $40 million a year in averages. So Obviously, for the Eagles, this means no more Myles Garrett. They will not be acquiring Myles Garrett. It probably also means they're not going to be acquiring Hendrickson from Cincinnati. I don't see them giving out this type of cash. When Max Crosby got that money, I think that pretty much ended it. But Myles Garrett getting $123 million guaranteed, the Eagles just, they weren't going to do that. Now, from the perspective of the Browns, I will say everybody on Twitter was looking at this and going like, oh, Myles Garrett wanted to win until he found out the money. And yeah, that's true. Of course, he got paid. But this was dumb of the Browns to do. Why would the Browns pay Myles Garrett all this money when they're not going to win anything next year? They're probably not going to win anything the year after. So you're basically just paying to have Myles Garrett like for fun, like so that the fans don't get super upset. And, you know, I do get that to an extent. It is a business. It is, you know, that you do have to think a little bit about the fans and all that. But just from a perspective of like, what would Howie do? I don't think there's any shot Howie would have paid Myles Garrett this contract if he was running the Browns. If Howie was running the Browns, I'm sorry. So here's a little side note. I've not yawned on a pod in a long time. If you notice, I've been way better about it. And I do have the ability now to edit out the yawns, but I've had enough people tell me that they think the yawns are like funny, and I feel like it's a bit now, so I'm going to keep them in. And let me say, there is no better show to take a nap to. So I just woke up from a nap about a half hour ago. There is no better show to take a nap to than Severance. It is the perfect sleeping show. First of all, it's boring. Like, it's just a boring show. But also, it's quiet, like, it's just the best nap show. So I took a nap, put on Severance, took a nap, had a turkey sandwich, homemade sandwich on a Sunday. Gotta love that. So I'm feeling rested and rejuvenated, but it's pretty funny. I'm yawning for like the first time in a month on a pod after I just took a nap. So anyway, cute, back to the pod. Myles Garrett, the Browns shouldn't have paid him. It's silly. They should have traded him. But ultimately, and our good friend Drew from Westchester made this point, I think Myles Garrett re-signing with the Browns is probably... it's probably a good thing for the Eagles. They were not going to get him. At least I think the chances were somewhat small, I would say. I think the highest I ever went was 30%. But if they weren't going to get him and they did trade him, like chances are he could have ended up in Washington. So now he doesn't go to Washington. He stays at Cleveland where he'll continue to put up numbers for sure, but he'll never win anything of note there. So shout out to Myles Garrett for getting the contract, but this essentially ends his chance of ever playing in meaningful games. And it does end the chance of the Eagles acquiring him. Okay, next up, speaking of contracts handed out, as we know, the Eagles handed Saquon Barkley a contract extension last week. I think it was like $34 million in guaranteed money. Well, when that contract came out, there was some debate as to why they did it, what the cap benefits of it were. And, you know, at the time, I said I didn't think there would be much of a cap benefit. And now that the contract is out, that ended up being the case. So Over the Cap has a really good breakdown of the contract. And prior to the deal, his cap hit was, I think it was somewhere around $7.5 million. So according to Over the Cap, the cap number is now $6.6 million. So, you know, they I guess, get maybe around $1 million in cap space, but it's roughly no cap change. They have roughly the same cap number. 2026, that number goes up to 9.8. And then 2027, it goes up to $13 million. So the important things with the contract, and I think it's been a while since we've talked about this, but it's good to know going in free agency. When a contract comes out, initially you'll hear 4 years, $54 million with X amount guaranteed, right? Like those are all agent numbers. It really doesn't matter to a certain extent to fans like what the average is. The average of a contract is pretty meaningless. When a player gets a contract, there are two things that like really you need to know when it comes to a team building perspective. What the cap number is and when's the first year they can cut them. So for Saquon Barkley, the cap numbers are for what is really a 2-year deal. So next season and the year after, and then could be a 3-year deal. So the first year of the deal, 6.6, that's fine, a nothing cap number. Obviously, they're not going to cut him this offseason. Now, what the contract does do is, in 2026, it goes to 9.8, but there's a $28 million cap hit if they cut him prior to June 1st. So what this contract does for Saquon is it guarantees he'll be here 2 more years. He'll be here 2025, he'll be here 2026. In 2027, his cap hit goes up to $13 million, which isn't the end of the world, but the dead money hit to cut him goes down to just $3 million. So on the prior deal that he signed last offseason, Saquon was basically guaranteed two years. He was guaranteed 2024 and 2025. Now, in this new contract, he is guaranteed, obviously already paid 2024, played 2024, but now he's guaranteed 2025 and 2026. So they basically extended him a year. They gave him, I think they essentially guaranteed money, but in terms of what Saquon will get, according to Over the Cap, Barkley will earn $16.5 million in 2025. Barkley will earn $17 million in 2026. And then in 2027, he'll earn $16 million, but only $2.5 million of it is fully guaranteed. And so this is according to Over the Cap, too, and this is written by Jason from Over the Cap. Quote, realistically, the way to look at this is the Eagles agreed to pay Barkley an additional $6 million over his existing contract with the Eagles, taking on the risk of fully guaranteeing his 2026 season now rather than having the ability to release him that year. Given that there are no significant guarantees in the third year of this contract, the Eagles would have had every ability to renegotiate the contract downward if Barkley's performance drops significantly. None of this has the excitement that comes with saying a $20.6 million per year running back, but it sounds great for the position and lets the Eagles dominate the news cycles for a few days due to the contract for Barkley, even though in the end it is not a massive adjustment from his original contract. So, what does all this mean overall? It means Barkley will definitely be here next year in 2026. It means Barkley got a fat paycheck from Jeffrey Lurie. And that last part, I think, is meaningful too. It means the Eagles got to dominate news cycles for a few days where everyone said what a great organization they were and how awesome this is. And look at Jeffrey Lurie. And they take care of their players. So they got all of that. So now that we have all the details of the Saquon contract, I think the real way to look at it is no harm, no foul. Good for Saquon. Good PR for the team, not a ton of impact on the cap, and you do guarantee him 2026, but chances are he was going to be here anyway. So Saquon gets a little bit of security beyond this year. The Eagles get a ton of good PR, and together they have a Super Bowl. So no harm, no foul, I think, on the contract. All right, finally, before we get to our free agency preview. So a picture went viral on Sunday of Jalen Hurts having dinner with Michael Jordan. So the picture was posted via Birds of Delphia on Twitter. I don't know if he took the picture. I would guess he didn't, but I don't know. So I don't know where the picture's from, but it's presented as if they've had dinner recently. You can see Jalen and Jordan. It's a little bit blurry, but you can see Jalen looks like he's smoking a cigar. He's sitting right there with Michael Jordan. It kind of looks like it's only the two of them there at the table, but a very, very cool moment. I don't think it's a secret how much Jalen loves Michael Jordan. He is a Jordan athlete. He wears Jordan shirts. He acts like Jordan to a certain degree in terms of his mentality. But just being around Jalen since he's been here, I mean, that dude is a massive Jordan fan. Like, his locker has a bunch of Jordan stuff in it. I mean, he's just a huge Jordan fan. So to have that dinner with Michael Jordan as a Super Bowl MVP after winning your first championship, that had to be really, really cool for Jalen. And I'm happy he got to experience that. Ike Reese tweeted this out. I think it's a very good point. Like, it's a great sign, I think, for Jalen's mentality moving forward. Not that anybody had any questions about Jalen's mentality, but you know him and Jordan talked about, like, what's it take to repeat? What's it take to keep that hunger alive once you win? And Jordan, obviously, is the winner, I believe, 2 three-peats and 6 total championships, knows how to win, knows how to repeat, and he's the GOAT. So Jalen sitting with him, learning from him, you know that that's what happened, too. It wasn't just like I can't imagine the words like let's not talk business what happened. You know Jalen learned from Jordan during that dinner. So very cool for Jalen, very good for the Eagles, and a cool picture too. So it's on my Instagram if you haven't seen it. I'm sure it's all over Twitter too, so I'm sure you will see it. But if you want to, it's on my Instagram. Very cool picture. So on the other side, we are going to get into the tight end position and from the free agency perspective, who's out there, who could they sign, and we'll talk briefly about Dallas Goedert and where things might stand between him and the team. So that'll be on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon, and the tricky part, not even afternoon, it's almost 6 o'clock, because like I said, I already took a nap. But like I said, or I didn't say, what I should say is, The tricky part of the Daily Pods is we've officially reached like anything could happen at any moment territory. So I'm really hoping by doing this later in the day, there's no news that happens after I record this. But let's talk about the Dallas Goedert situation. So the Eagles enter free agency. I think we would all agree with the defensive line is probably their biggest priority. The edge position, the defensive tackle position, their own free agents are there. And I think that's where you'll see them be active in terms of handing out a contract. But the other important position for them is tight end. And the reason I say that is because it sounds to me like Dallas Goedert might have played his last game with the Eagles. Now, it's not a definite. I think the Eagles like Dallas. I'm sure Dallas likes playing for the Eagles. They've both always talked glowingly about each other since you know he's been here and you know last year too. It's not just like a recent thing. It's not just like a long ago thing. But I think with Dallas Goedert, I think another team will give him a contract the Eagles won't give him. I think the Eagles are probably going to move on from him. And if the Eagles move on from him, that does make the tight end position more important for the Eagles. So what do I think they'll do at tight end next year? First, it's a really good tight end draft class. And that's something we'll talk about once we dive into the draft, being out this week at the Flyers game, of all things. By the way, let me tell you something about hockey. I went to my last Flyers game probably 10 years ago, maybe even longer. And I remember leaving that and thinking, man, hockey's so cool in person. And so for 10 years, I've been telling people, hockey is way better in person, and you don't appreciate it until you see it in person. And it is true. That is true. Hockey is better live than it is on TV. But I came away, like, not super impressed with the sport of hockey. Just like, I don't know. I feel like they just hit the puck and chase it. I feel like that's the entirety of the sport. But regardless, I was at the Flyers game, and a lot of people were like, asking if I think the Eagles are going to draft Tyler Warren from Penn State. So we'll see where Tyler Warren ends up, and he's definitely somebody we'll talk about. But I do think the Eagles plan at tight end, at least, you know, what I informed opinion, I think, is they'll go with Calcaterra, they'll probably sign somebody, and they'll have a rookie. And then also they like EJ Jenkins, who's there. But regardless, I think they are going to be active in free agency signing somebody from the tight end class. So who could that somebody be? Let's take a look at some tight ends that I think make sense for the Eagles. First up, I don't think they're going to sign him, but let's just talk about him because I think it's an intriguing name and he does make some sense depending what the market is. And I think he would probably want to come here. Evan Engram, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's 30 years old. He's 30 years old. Last year, played in only 9 games, 64 targets, 47 catches, 365 yards, and 1 touchdown. Evan Engram is no secret to you guys. Obviously, a longtime Giant, went to the Jaguars. 108 games of experience in his career. He struggled with injuries early on. He's been pretty healthy recently. Like from 2022 to 2023, he played, I think, in 14 games at least every single year. But he did miss time in 2024. And he just checks boxes for the Eagles. A first round pick. They love draft pedigree. Hasn't really lived up to the hype, I would say. Has been paid, so he's certainly not a bust by any stretch. But has never had 1,000 yards. Drops are an issue for him for his career. He's dropped 6.3% of his targets. Like, he has almost double digit drops every year. A lot of years of like 11, 7, 8, like that type of thing. So drops are a problem. But according to Pro Football Focus, and I'll be honest here, like, I don't watch these guys pass block, so I can't speak to it. Pro Football Focus has him ranked as a very, very good blocking tight end, which I was surprised about. But if that's true, I mean, Evan Engram does make sense for the Eagles. Now, the reason I think they probably won't sign him is I would think that he would get a decent-sized contract out there in free agency. But if his market's not great, they do move Goedert, and they're looking for someone that can be like a true tight end 1A, 1B with Calcaterra. Evan Engram makes sense. You don't have to play him as much, which would help him keep healthy. Calcaterra is a bad blocking tight end right now. Now, he could improve on it, but he's a bad blocking tight end. So one thing you'll hear a lot with the tight ends we're going to talk about is whether or not they are good blocking tight ends. Evan Engram graded out, according to Pro Football Focus, as a good pass blocking tight end. So 9 games last year, had trouble staying healthy. I would think there'd be some interest in Evan Engram from the Eagles. I think they'll check in on him. I would think Evan Engram would have a lot of interest in coming to the Eagles. Evan Engram, a free agent after being released. We'll see if the Eagles have interest. Okay, next up on the list of tight ends I think the Eagles could have interest in is Harrison Bryant from the Las Vegas Raiders. So Bryant, 6'5", 230 pounds, has not had a great statistical career yet, was a former fourth round pick, so does have a little bit of draft pedigree, has spent four of the first 5 years of his career with the Cleveland Browns, which is always a disaster when it comes to a career. You never want to end up in Cleveland. Note Myles Garrett, what you just signed up for the rest of your career. But he did spend last year with the Las Vegas Raiders. Tough time to go to the Raiders as they draft Brock Bowers, pretty much ending the ability of any other tight end to be involved. So last year, he only has 12 targets, 9 catches, 86 yards, only played 25% of the snaps. But again, 26 years old, and I thought before he went to Las Vegas, his career was kind of on the come up. From 2020 to 2022, he was increasing. He was getting more and more targets. He capped out on 31 catches for 239 yards in 2022, has 7 touchdowns in his first 3 seasons, so it was pretty decent in the red zone. But really what I like about him, now, he did grade out as a bad blocking tight end, so that's not good. That's going to hurt him. But 26 years old, has played with bad quarterbacks his whole career, didn't get a chance last year because he was a backup. A few tight ends on here were backups to good tight ends, but, you know, fit a certain athletic thing, you know, athletic, young, like that's what I was going for here with this list. So Harrison Bryant, only 26. I think there'd be interest there as a receiving tight end, and we'll see if they would agree that he graded out poorly as a blocker. Next up, when I was doing my Evan Engram homework, Luke Farrell of the Jaguars, also interesting. 27 years old, not a ton of stats when it comes to catching, to be honest. 17 targets, 12 catches, 67 yards, played 38% of the snaps. But what I really like about him is he is a great blocking tight end. He graded out as a really, really good pass blocker. Obviously, we'll see, you know, what the Eagles' internal evaluation is there. But 27 years old, 6'5", 250 pounds, only 36 catches in 4 years. He could be the blocking tight end that pairs up with Grant Calcaterra. So Luke Farrell of the Jaguars, somebody to keep an eye on. All right, next up, Hunter Long of the Los Angeles Rams. Again, 6'5", 243. So a lot of long, tall pass-catching tight ends on this list. 26 years old. Wasn't really involved in the offense last year. Former third-round pick that's been a backup. He's never played more than 26% of the snaps. Only had over 100 total snaps once in his four-year career. But again, a former third-round pick, super athletic, 26 years old, and has been stuck behind good tight ends there in Los Angeles. So Hunter Long, a potential option for the Eagles. Next up, Kalen Granson from the Indianapolis Colts, 26 years old. He has better pass-catching numbers, for sure, than some of the last few we just talked about. Last year, 31 targets, so a decent amount of targets, 14 catches, 182 yards, but he played 40% of the snaps, and he's been at 40% of the snaps or more the last 3 seasons, so they put him out there. They feel comfortable playing him. Makes sense. He grades out as a good pass-blocking tight end, but he can bring something in the passing game. Had 30 catches on 50 targets in 2023 for almost 400 yards. He had 300 more yards in 2022 and 2023. A fourth-round pick, so a little bit of draft pedigree there, but I like the idea of Branson. There's familiarity. I would say Steichen's there. You know, Sirianni used to coach at the Colts. I'm sure he'll be informed on what type of player Kalen Granson is. So I think of all the guys on here, he might have the best combination of like young, good pass production, good pass blocker. I think he checks the 3 boxes they're looking for, probably more than any other tight end on this list. So next up is just straight draft pedigree. Irv Smith from the Texans, 26 years old. He's done almost nothing in the passing game. Only played 5 games last year due to injury, but 26 targets, 18 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown in 2023. Was a second round pick in 2019. Injuries have been a major issue. Like I said, only 5 games last year, only 8 in 2022, and missed all of 2021. This would strictly be like how he liked him in the draft in 2019. He's ultra cheap. Just bring him in and see what he has, like a training camp type body. But 26 years old, former second round pick, always going to get my attention in the free agency class. Next up, Quentin Morris of the Buffalo Bills, 26 years old, 8 targets, 5 catches, 36 yards. So not great production last year, but hasn't played a ton, and he's been behind an elite tight end there in Buffalo. 22 targets, 15 catches for 146 yards and 3 touchdowns in his career. Good pass blocking tight end. Not going to add much in the passing game, it seems, but if you want to pair him with Calcaterra, he is a good pass blocking tight end. All right, and then finally, John Bates from the Washington Commanders, 27 years old, 8 catches last year for 84 yards. Decent backup numbers, 88 targets over 4 seasons, almost 600 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, former fourth round pick, 6'6", 259 pounds, a great pass blocking tight end. So huge body, good backup numbers for receiving, 88 targets over 4 years isn't nothing, and a great pass blocking tight end. So I really like John Bates, I think, as an option. I would say after that, or at least tied, Kalen Granson. I think Granson brings more from the passing game perspective. Luke Farrell as a straight up pass blocking tight end, I like. And then more of a pass catcher is Harrison Bryant. And then there's the, I guess, the creme de la creme of the free agency class, which is Evan Engram of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that'll do it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Going to be an exciting next few days. But until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.